Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome back to Lighten Up Brother with Fuego Del Sol. This is the podcast, the most positive podcast in wrestling today. Fuego Del Sol, let the people know what's going on in your life right now.
We got a lot of good stuff going on. Of course, my co-host, The Assassin, AK-47. You know, we had a fun weekend. We got to link up, do some fun things on the indies together. You got to manage me at my match in Connecticut last Saturday night. Life is going well, man. I've been having banger matches. I've been, trying to kill it with this podcast and just do my thing. I got a lot of big stuff coming up for me, and I'm excited about it. Speaking of big stuff, like I said, last week we posted three different clips of last week's podcast on the brand new Lighten Up Brother YouTube channel. There's a YouTube channel specifically dedicated to the Lighten Up Brother podcast. Please go subscribe and check out the clips we're going to be posting there. Next week, starting next week, the main podcast will be moved off the Fuego Del Sol channel and only be on the Lighten Up Brother channel. So you need to subscribe so you do not miss it. I know this is going to take a while to grow and build, but we appreciate your support. Trying to do something different, trying to be positive and show love to the best wrestling each week. This is an excuse for me to talk to one of my best friends about what I love in professional wrestling. And if you're enjoying it, the subscription helps tremendously, as well as all your feedback on social media. We've been enjoying it. We thank you. And because of you guys and because of your comments, we've upgraded stuff every week. The camera quality has been updated. We started putting the Indie Spotlight socials down in the description below. We started adding clips of the podcast to the new page. So all of this feedback has helped us tremendously. We know this is a growing brand and a growing product, and we just appreciate you being along for the ride with us.
Yeah, I share the same sentiment. Thank you guys for supporting us and giving us that great feedback. Keep commenting in the YouTube section. Tweet at us. Comment on Instagram on the clips. Keep giving us feedback on what we can do better to keep growing the podcast. We want to keep getting more listeners in. And that helps us, that helps you, and helps everyone around us that really enjoy the podcast. So I really appreciate the journey so far, and we just gonna keep it rolling. Speaking of keeping it rolling, though, we're going to get into it. The big topics. We all know how we all start this off. We got to talk about the big topics. And there's quite a recurring theme this week. There's a lot of heel turns. We're going to talk about another one heel turn right now. We're going to talk about the Young Bucks. Let's talk about it.
You know, I might be in the minority here. I try to take a step back, look at things objectively, AK. I know that's a rare thing nowadays in life, but I like to take a step back and be like, okay, am I in the minority here? Do most people like this thing that I might not dislike? The Young Bucks on Dynamite this past Wednesday, last night for the time we're recording this, wrestled in an amazing contest against Commander and Penta El Zero Miedo. And at the end of the night, in their hometown, they low blow both Commander and Penta and turned heel ahead of their match this Sunday at Full Gear against Jericho and Kenny the Golden Jets. And for my money, I've always preferred the Bucks as good guys. However, I feel like a lot of people online enjoy them more as the shit-eating, grin-style-having maniacs when they're bad guys. What is your take on the Bucks turning bad?
My take on it is it adds a lot of intrigue, of course, for Full Gear's on its way, and adds I kind of unexpected, didn't kind of see this coming. A great heel turn in my eyes. I feel like they need a little good refresh. I feel like a good heel turn here for the Young Bucks is good for them. I feel like they can start building what they've been already well established, of course. But now they can basically turn over a new leaf in the heel direction and, put on some more banger matches, have some different people to face. I like it. I really enjoy it. I know you prefer them as good guys. I think I kind of do as well, but we've been seeing them as good for a little while now, so I feel like it's the first take for another heel turn, and it makes sense for them, and I'm with it. Well, I'll see how it goes from here.
I just think, besides Blood and Guts this year, we haven't had a full elite return, right? Hangman finally reunited with the Bucks and Kenny. After all that turmoil for like 2.5 years, maybe 3 years, and it just seems like it abruptly ended. Like, Hangman split off, did his thing with Swerve, and now mm-hmm. Kenny's doing this thing with Jericho, and I just don't, like, even the Bucks said it, oh, man, we do this match Sunday, then we go back to being the Elite again. And I don't see that happening. I don't see Kenny turning on Jericho right now, at least, and I just, I don't know where they go from here. I feel like AEW's at its best when one of the main storylines is around the whole of the Elite. As friends, together. I know a lot of people online said the Bucks have been seeming checked out, that they're not on BTE anymore. You know, that the same feel that we had 4 years ago when this whole revolution started to begin with, it's lost its luster a bit. Which kind of sucks. It kind of hurts to see that. And I feel like the best way to remedy that is to make sure the Elite are involved in a major storyline. And again, I don't critique. I don't like to be negative. Mm-hmm. I think the Bucks as heels can thrive. I am just worried about the whole Elite altogether, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. You are right that they kind of didn't really go anywhere with them. You know, the Hangman turmoil thing, just building up for 2.5 years, now Kenny Omega's with Chris Jericho, Young Bucks just turned heel. I understand that there maybe plans changed. Maybe there was a plan in place where that was the case. The Elite coming all back together is going to be this big thing. But I don't know, maybe somewhere down the pipeline something got mixed up or changed, or they just didn't feel like the story was right and they just went in a different direction. I'm going to put my trust in the Young Bucks. I feel like they're smart guys. I feel like they know what they're doing, and they usually make the right decision, I would say, most of the time for them. So you're a wait and see guy. I'm going to say wait and see on this one.
You're right. I don't like to speculate. Again, I do like to wait and see, and I don't want to overlook the fantastic match that the Bucks had. You know, they busted out all kind of crazy spots and moves, and the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." I think Dynamite last night was strong, partly because both the Bucks and Kenny wrestled on the show. That's another thing. I feel like when the Elite are wrestling on Dynamite, it's hard to have a bad Dynamite. The Bucks just know how to perform in great tag matches, and they did it again last night. And that's one thing I do want to point out as a positive of last night's show. Speaking of that, I guess we can go ahead and move on to the next big topic, is the crazy street fight that we had. You know, the Sega cross promotion. You had Kenny and Jericho, Kota Ibushi and Paul White versus Don Callis' family alongside Brian Cage. We had Kyle Fletcher, Brian Cage, Will Hobbs, and Takeshita all together. Takeshita looking dope as hell in the full cosplay getup. This match was insane. There was antics everywhere. Paul White took a crazy ass body slam from Powerhouse Hobbs onto a car. Made Powerhouse Hobbs look very strong. Kota Ibushi rolled down the ramp on a bicycle. And I know a lot of people online They were referencing the old Dusty Rhodes WCW clip. He got a bicycle. He got a bicycle. You know, it was funny because his shots on the bicycle were very weak with the pipe. And then Brian Cage destroys him with a lariat. But not as bad as Kyle Fletcher tried to destroy him with the tombstone off the apron through like a Chinese buffet sign, makeshift table through chairs. It was crazy. It was insane. You've seen the clip if you watched it. But in the end, Kenny hits the one winged angel on Brian Cage, gets the 1-2-3. Is this the end of the Don Callis saga between Kenny and him and Jericho? Is it over with? Finally, after months and months, do we get a real resolution? Do Kenny and Jericho both move on now? Is it donezo? What do you think?
I'm not sure. I mean, they can go two different ways. I feel like Chris Jericho's ready for it to be done. I feel like I could see him wanting to move on from this storyline. I feel like Kenny is also in the same camp. But they could stretch it out a little bit longer if they wanted to, but I feel like I think it's done. I do.
It's crazy too, because like I thought this match would definitely be on Full Gear's pay-per-view, but it seems like if this match was on the pay-per-view, the Bucks wouldn't have a match on the pay-per-view. You know, Nick Jackson even said on Instagram, responding to a comment, said, you know, it was either this or we weren't on the pay-per-view when someone commented negatively about the match, which is weird. Again, not trying to be negative here. But besides that being over, what did you think about the match in general? Did you think it was crazy? Did you like it? Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy it? What's your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It needed it to be. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was chaos, insanity, a lot of like wild and like dope spots they had planned for it. A lot of cool matchups that I really like. Of course, you already touched on the cosplay. It was awesome. It was a fun time. Really enjoyed it. Also, we got a shout out, you know, Kota Ibushi. He's he's now All Elite. We got to talk about, you know, he's signed now officially to AEW, and that's great. And it was fun. So many stars all in one place. It's you know, chaos galore. I love Will Hobbs in this. I feel like Will Hobbs really did shine in this one.
And really another guy, I mean, shout out to Brian Cage, a really good friend of mine. Yeah. He was really at this match last minute when Sammy couldn't get cleared. You know, he had the big suplex through the table. He had the big clothesline. He took the finish. All of this stuff. And he just had a brand new little baby. So congrats to Brian Cage. I think Will Hobbs shined. I think Takeshita shined. I think, you know, Kota being All Elite is great. I am glad that we had a fun match.
Amazing.
To finally put this feud to bed, hopefully.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while, so hopefully this was a good, climax and ending for this whole storyline, for sure. But all right, moving on to another heel turn.
Speaking of heel turns.
Speaking of, we finally got it. We've been talking about this for weeks. Is it going to happen? It's not happened yet. Is it going to happen? It has to happen. We see it coming. Drew McIntyre finally has turned heel, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's funny because they also teased that it wasn't going to happen. Early in the night, we see Drew McIntyre walk up to Seth Rollins.
Yep.
You know, they have the stare down. And then Drew tells Seth, congratulations. You are a world champion. You're the champion that the world deserves. And you wear that title proudly. And I saw some people online, Drew's not turning. Drew's good again. All for it to set up the end of the night. Wow, 2 weeks in a row my alarm went off while we're filming this. This is hilarious. All to set up Drew McIntyre coming out at the end of the night after the tag team title match to hit the Claymore on Jey Uso and basically solidify that he'll be the fifth man in the War Games Survivor Series match. Now the question still remains, who is going to be the fifth man over on the other side? I think, you know, we speculated last week that for sure Drew was probably going to be on the Judgment Day side. And I said, and I still feel that Randy Orton will be the fifth man over on the other side. It was weird. I felt like the turn came in a weird manner, in a lot of sense. I thought it would better benefit him, in the Seth Rollins match. But they saved it for a Raw. It's still very interesting. But the real interesting thing is, just because he shook Rhea Ripley's hand at the end of the night, is he going to join Judgment Day 2? Is this just a one-time thing? What do you think about Drew turning heel?
I want to share what you just said. I really do think that it should have happened in the Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, you know, their match, because that match was so, so fucking good. They killed it. And I feel like the icing on top of the cake would have been him turning heel there, because it just added even more to how great that match was. So them waiting it out and just kind of being like this little segment, I feel like they could have made it a little bit brander, a little bit more in your face. Like, oh yeah, this is like a big, big deal. But they kind of made it. It's kind of a little subtle, but maybe that's what they want to go with. Maybe they want it to be more subtle and kind of like elongated. Because still, yeah, he shook her hand, but does it really mean that he's going to be on Judgment Day? Who knows? I feel like, I don't know. I'm still.
There's more to come. There's more story to tell for sure.
Definitely more story to tell. I'm not completely sold that he's gonna be officially in Judgment Day now. So that might.
Well, shifting gears. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll see how it goes next week.
As soon as I talk, you start talking. But I just got one more thing to say. Just wrapping it up. Like, I do feel like eventually it might happen, but as of right now, I feel like they're gonna, you know, keep it a little bit more subtle and back and forth. Like, is he, like, will he, won't he type thing. But there, that's all I wanted to say.
I agree. Sorry for cutting you off. Shifting gears from one heel turn and one War Games match to possibly another this past Friday night on SmackDown in the main event. We got a shocking heel turn, right? We saw at the beginning of SmackDown, Kairi Sane join Damage Control. Bayley giving the hug. You know, it's funny that Kairi Sane wanted to hug Bayley, and she said, I don't do that anymore. I'm not a hugger. I don't do the hugging thing. And they all, the Damage Control hug, even though she didn't want a hug. And you had this great facial expression from Bayley, right? I thought, okay, perfect. 4v4. The new Damage Control versus Asuka, Charlotte, Bianca, Shotzi. That's the way we're going. I didn't know we were going to do two War Games matches at Survivor Series, but I'm glad the women get a chance to shine. And then, in the main event, Asuka turns, shoots the mist into Bianca's face, and joins Damage Control. Now, that makes me wonder, is Dakota Kai not fully healed yet? Is she not going to be back in time for War Games? Did they need a fourth person over on Damage Control's side? Mm-hmm. And who is going to be the fourth person over on the women's side? Is Becky Lynch going to jump from Raw to go over to SmackDown to join up with Charlotte, her old buddy, and Bianca and Shotzi? What do you think?
I think you're right there. I do think Becky Lynch is going to come over and do it. I do. She's big. She's got the star power, of course. It's going to be huge with Charlotte. It makes sense. Bianca Blair. I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen. I feel like you're right on the money with it.
Yeah, Bianca Belair. It's good to see her back, but man, she's getting the short end of the stick. Lost to the title match, now her friend Asuka turning on her.
Yeah.
But I got faith. All of those women are top-notch in the ring, and I think they'll put together something great in this War Games match in a couple weeks. Very, very much looking forward to that. And, you know, Asuka does have connections with both Kairi Sane and Io Sky. So, you know, you're getting the Japanese girls back together. I can't wait to see what they all come up with. I am glad that the girls' main event at SmackDown to set up this big angle, to set up the big match in a couple weeks. This Sunday, we have AEW Full Gear. It kind of crept up on us, snuck up on us. Even though this JYMJF thing felt like it's been going on for months and months, the whole pay-per-view as a whole feels like it just kind of come together. To me, at least. Maybe fans feel otherwise. Let us know in the comments if you feel like it's not crept up on you. You know, I feel like almost they were building World's End at the end of the year more than they were building Full Gear. You know, it seemed kind of like an afterthought to me, at least. Again, I could be wrong. What do you think?
I can see why you feel that way. It has kind of, you know, came out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, Full Gear's this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's right. I actually thought it was 2 weeks from now. I didn't think it was this week. I thought it was the week after.
But Survivor Series War Games in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so Full Gear, like you said, there's quite a few matches that are coming up in Full Gear. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to them. The stories, like, you know, Swerve and Adam Page is gonna be big. They've been having a great
feud. Yeah. Hold off on that. Let me just run down the matches and we'll give our preview thoughts for it. Because you tell me as we run them down which ones you're most excited for. And I just want to say, AEW always puts on great pay per views. Sometimes they drag a little towards the end, but for the most part, you know you're going to get a ton of bangers out of it. And it helps kind of right the ship, rewrite the course. If people are not digging AEW TV week by week so much, I feel like the pay-per-view always grabs them, gets them back in, and turns the narrative and the rhetoric back to, oh man, AEW's killing it. Even when it feels like sometimes they're not on the TV side. In the 0 hour match, we have MJF and TBA to be announced, teaming up to face the Guns for the ROH Tag Team Championships. I think Samoa Joe will be his tag partner. Mm. I think he finally accepts Samoa Joe's offer, and I think they become tag team, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. However, I am ready for the tag team thing to be over with. I know we're just killing time till Adam Cole gets back.
Right.
Put the belts on the Guns. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Might as well. They are more cohesive. Like, they are a tag team. Like, that's what
they are. A real tag team. Yeah.
They are a real tag team. They're great. I love the Guns, actually. They've been really good so far. Like, I love their whole aesthetic. I love their charisma. They have a lot of charisma, I would say. And I enjoy them when they're on my screen. I do enjoy the Guns. I know they can be obnoxious at times. I know that a lot of people can take them or leave them, but I like that. I like them. I think they should win the tag team titles. I do. So
I just hate when tag titles are used as a secondary storyline device, right? I feel like you should put focus on the championships, and right now they seem secondary, just to further along this MJF storyline, when you already have the AEW World title to further that along. I don't think you need these tag titles, especially because MJF is not showing up on Ring of Honor every week. It airs every Thursday. He's not been there. You know, I know that there's there's Ring of Honor tag teams that want a shot, and if it feels like it's holding up division, I don't think it's good overall. I can't wait for Adam Cole to get back, just so we can, and again, we might see that at the end of the night, but I don't want to spoil anything yet. That's the first match. Speaking of tag matches, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Let's just go ahead and knock it out. The Golden Jets versus the Young Bucks. Kenny and Jericho versus Matt and Nick. Who you got? What do you think? Where does it go?
Man, this is a toss-up for me. I really don't know who's going to win this one. I think it's going to be a great match. It's always great to have Kenny and the Young Bucks in the same ring together. Chris Jericho's there as well. His legendary presence.
Yes, yes. The way you worded it was funny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, the elite's in the ring together. We all know that's going to be a banger. And I'm just saying, normally, Chris Jericho is not a part of these matches. So it's going to be great to see Chris Jericho be in a match with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, all in the same ring together. They all have great minds, especially Chris Jericho. He's such a great, great psychologist in his mind and how he works and how he puts stories together. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see how they angle it and what unfolds there. But I don't know. As of right now, I'm kind of undecided on who actually is going to win this match.
Who wins? Give me a pick.
My gut is saying Kenny and Jericho.
I don't know. Every time that Kenny has teamed up with someone to face the Bucks, he's won. Him and Kota beat him in New Japan. Him and Hangman beat him to retain the titles 3 years ago at Revolution. I think it's the Bucks' time. I think they cheat, and I think they win, and I think that this story is not over and we get more of it, but I feel like the Bucks need this one more than Kenny and Jericho need this one. And they're the cohesive tag team. They're just freshly turned heel.
That's true.
They're going to cheat to win for sure. We have Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, Nick Wayne, the Patriarchy, what they have now been dubbed, which I'm very happy with, versus Sting, Darby, and Adam Copeland. What do you think? First of all, let me just touch one more time. The Patriarchy, you know, a thing about fathers and men. The patriarch of the family is the dad. You love it. You love to see it. Christian Cage, I love the name. I enjoy it. Who do you got? Sting's on his farewell tour. Do you think they pull it out? Do you think Christian Cage and them need it more? First pay-per-view for Adam Copeland in AEW. What do you think?
I think this is another toss-up for me. I think Christian Cage and them will win. The patriarch will win here. I do feel like they'll just win this match and eventually we'll get Adam Copeland and Christian Cage straight up. And I feel like that's where Adam Copeland will win against Christian Cage at that moment. But I feel like Christian Cage and his crew will do some shenanigans, do some heel stuff to figure out the way to win this one. I feel like it's going to be a good, enjoyable match. I am looking forward to it. I'm very excited to see when Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, when they finally, you know, that face to face, that face off. We know we're going to get it. The crowds are going to go nuts, and they're just going to have, they're just going to start throwing blows at each other, and it's going to be a very, very fun time, and it's going to be hype. I'm very, very excited to see that. And I'm excited to see, you know, everyone else perform as well. It's going to be, I think it's going to be enjoyable. We're having a lot of multi-man matches in Full Gear. I'm seeing a theme here.
Yeah, I'm very interested because Sting has never lost on AEW pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. I could be wrong here. I don't think he's ever lost a pay-per-view match, and I just don't see it happening here. Mm. I think Sting, Darby, Edge get the win, probably pin Nick Wayne, which will set up Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage very soon. We got a four-way tag team title match. FTR versus House of Black and the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai and Brody, versus Los Ingobernables in Dralístico and Rush, versus the tag team champions in Big Bill and Ricky Starks. Who do you got?
Another multi-man match. Like I said, there's a theme going on here. There's a lot of multi-man matches in the Full Gear this coming up Sunday. Oh, man. I'm going FTR here.
I don't know if FTR gets the belts back here. I wouldn't be shocked if the House of Black comes out of there with the tag team championships. This is going to be an interesting one. I definitely think it's going to be a banger, though, regardless. It's one of my sleeper picks for a banger.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge, huge banger. I love House of Black. I love FTR. It's going to be... when you said sleeper hit, I definitely... Because I feel like a lot of people, like... It's not like, oh, this is like the biggest match on the card for sure, but it's going to be probably up there for like the best match of the night. I thought they're going to be up there with that for sure.
I want to move from one sleeper banger to another sleeper banger. Tony Storm versus...
Oh, yeah.
Hikaru Shida for the women's championship. You know, this new version of Timeless Tony Storm has been killing it character work wise. And former champion, you know, they've both held the title multiple times now. And I don't know who's going to win it. You know, Shida just got the championship back. However, Timeless Tony Storm seems to be all over the show. And doing so well with the character work, I just don't see her not having the championship. I almost feel like I have to pick her. Plus, I know I was going to say, I had this in rapid fire topics, we could take it out. Mariah May. You know, we saw her on Dynamite come in and talk about how she's such a big fan. And could she be involved in the finish and winning Toni Storm over by helping her win the belt? This Sunday, what do you think?
I think that's a good angle to it. I do believe that Mariah will be involved somehow. Will it get Tony to win? I think it does. I think Tony does win here.
Or does it cost Tony? It could go the other way.
Yeah, it could go the other way. It's just depending on how they want the story to go with Mariah May and Tony Storm. Like, do they want Tony to be like upset at her already if she costs her, or do they kind of want this like friendship growing? Oh yeah!
Before
they eventually like go at each other, because we know it's going to happen eventually. They're going to get upset at each other and they're going to have a feud. But I feel like they're going to like want Mariah May and like Toni Storm to be like buddy buddy for a good while and like super friendship. Like they're inseparable. They're everywhere together. They're eating out together. You see them like they're basically like always together. They're going to be like best of friends. It's like, oh, it's just going to be like happy-go-lucky for a while. Then eventually Mariah May will, you know, get on Tony's bad side and it's going to be a feud there. That's what I believe.
I can absolutely see that. And I just, regardless, I think that Shida versus Storm match is going to be great. We move on from one women's titles match to another. The TBS Championship is on the line when Chris Statlander takes on both Sky Blue and Julia Hart in a triple threat match. And it almost, Chris Statlander almost seems secondary in this story because for weeks and almost months now, we've had Sky Blue and Julia Hart in a small story together. They traded Mist. We saw the attitude change of Sky Blue when Julia Hart missed it her first, and we thought that would lead to a heel turn, but instead it turned around and led to Sky Blue then misting Julia Hart back. Mm-hmm. And I know you think that Chris Statlander might retain, but I'm kind of leading to believe that the House of Black may walk away with multiple titles out of this pay-per-view, and that Julia Hart takes the TBS championship from Chris Statlander. And then with it being a triple threat, Chris can lose the title without ever being pinned. What do you think?
That's very intriguing, I would say. Julia Hart having the title would be awesome, especially for her in the House of Black. Them coming away with multiple titles would be huge for them. Definitely solidifies their whole entire faction. Puts them on top of the map more, and I could see it for sure. But something tells me Chris Statlander is going to figure out a way to win this one. I feel like what's going to happen, because you say, Chris Statlander might not take the pin here. I feel like Sky Blue and Julia Hart, something's going to happen where they're too focused on each other, and Chris Statlander is going to be at the very end, or it's going to sneak in the win here. Say Sky Blue, does something to Julia, or Julia does something to Sky Blue. It's like, oh my God, what's happening between these two? Then out of nowhere, Chris Statlander hits one of them with something and wins and retains. I think that's what's going to happen.
I can absolutely see that happening. Let's move on from one best friend stablemate to another with Orange Cassidy defending the AEW International Championship against Jon Moxley. We saw this months ago play out. Jon ended the amazing reign of Orange Cassidy. John unfortunately suffered a concussion against Phoenix and lost the title. Orange Cassidy then regained it from Phoenix. Does we rewrite the ship and do it all over again? Does John Moxley win the international title from Orange Cassidy this time? What do you think?
This is a tough one, because it's, do they do it again? Is it like, okay, we really wanted this to happen, but unfortunately John Moxley got hurt, so we had to kind of, reset course. And so are they just going to rewrite history? And it's just going to be Orange Cassidy, John Moxley again. They're going to have a great match. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be – because Orange Cassidy, I remember him saying in an interview, it hurts every time he faces John Moxley. It's going to be all-out war. I don't know. I feel like it's maybe too predictable to say that.
Do they do it again and have it deja vu? It seems like they're going to have a great match. I don't doubt it being good. I just am worried that it's just the same exact outcome we got last time. And right. I feel like AEW has been good at fixing that. When they had different things like that happen in the past, they fixed it. I wouldn't be shocked if Orange retained. And I kind of almost want Orange to retain just so we don't get the deja vu thing.
That's true, yeah. That's why I'm kind of leaning more towards Orange winning here, but I don't know. They might put it on Moxley because that's what they
originally planned. Yeah, I feel like Moxley needs it more. I definitely feel like Moxley needs it more.
Because, he's back now. He's, he's thriving, and this build-up has been huge, and like you said, that was the original plan. So they might decide, hopefully people's minds and, memories are not as fresh on this as we are, and that people would kind of forget that we actually saw this before. Maybe that might go that route. But since we're more in the know and keep up with everything every single week, we're not casual listeners or casual watchers of wrestling we watch it weekly and not think about it for the whole entire week and come back each week. Maybe that's what they're hoping for, that people just kind of forget that the deja vu thing and kind of just accept it, but who knows.
Let's talk about what I consider to be my main event. I know you touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
Texas Deathmatch. Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland. This past Wednesday on Dynamite, we got my favorite type of Hangman. A fired up promo from Adam Page. He come out there, he was talking all the shit, he was spitting all the fire. He said, "You're a dumbass," to Swerve Strickland. Yeah. "That's why your ass got fired 2 years ago from the WWE." He said, "You're not a good person, you're a coward. You want to be a world champion, you don't act like a world champion. Huh? That's why your fiance left you and your kid don't talk to you." Bro, brutal stuff. He says, He says all of these people around you are just using you. You got yes men like the Gates of Agony. You got Nana who's using you. He's just coming out here to do his silly dance to your song and make money off of his t-shirts, off of your back. He said Nana then uses that money to go buy weed from a high school kid. And Nana, after I whoop Swerve's ass, I'm going to whoop your ass and take your weed. I was like, yo, they're in California. They can get away with this. It's crazy. Good stipulation of not having them being able to touch. But I wish the security were in between them, almost in a sense, because this man broke into this guy's house.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like you almost want to see more of a fight. But regardless of that, I thought the promo was great. I think Fired Up Hangman is great. I feel like that's the best Hangman. I hope it leads to more. I think he gets the win in the Texas Death Match after Swerve got the first win back in at Wrestle Dream. I think it's now time for Hangman to overcome to get the dub. And I really think this is going to be the match of the night. What do you think?
I'm right there with you. This has match of the night written all over it. It's one of the best storylines going on right now in AEW. It's been great. The promos have been, like you just said recently, that promo with Adam Page, fantastic. It's been great stuff. Swerve, you know, breaking into the house. I said this before. I don't know, like 2-3 weeks ago. I don't know when I said it, but I said it before. It's the best. Matches or storylines the best when it gets personal. When there's like some little personal involved, like you know, like too personal, but when it gets like a little personal.
Oh, this is the most personal.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, like, this is like super, super personal. You got kids involved. You got families involved. Like, it's insanity. It's like these two are really going to go at it. It's like, I can't wait for them to actually, because wait, we're waiting for it. We're waiting for them to finally just hit each other. Because like these guys have been wanting to knock each other out for weeks now, and I can't wait for them to finally, when that bell rings, it's going to be absolute insanity and chaos. Like, I for sure think this is going to be a match tonight, because the intrigue is there. The anger from both sides is there. It's going to be hard hitting. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be bloody. I'm all for it. And yeah, I think Hangman's going to come out with a win here.
I say it all the time, and I'll say it again here. The best wrestling is when you take a top guy, put him against another top guy, give us an interesting story, and then you capitalize with a great match. And both of these guys are at the top of their game. They put on great matches. We got a really good story, and I think it culminates in another great match. So I'm very, very excited for this one. Finally, the AEW World Championship is on the line. Mm-hmm. MJF versus Jay White. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I think MJF wins. I think the more intriguing story is that the devil is revealed at the end of the night. I think it's Adam Cole. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be pretty much simple. MJF is going to win this. But the huge intrigue, the huge interest of this whole entire debacle is the devil. Who is it? Who's it going to be? Is it Adam Cole? Is it someone we haven't even thought of? Is it like a big, huge surprise? Like, oh my God, I didn't see this one coming. Because then maybe they want to like trick us. Maybe this is too predictable. Everyone's saying it's Adam Cole, so maybe they might want to go a different route. Who knows? So I feel like that's what the big, big overall arching story is going to be, is mostly about who is the devil. Are we going to know at the end of the night? I feel like MJF winning is kind of secondary at this point, because I kind of know what's going to happen.
Tony Khan announced that they will be signing a free agent at Full Gear. So the two biggest free agents right now is really Will Ospreay, or Mercedes Moné, talking about formerly known as Sasha Banks. I think it's one of them two. I think he signs one of them two. I do not think either of these people are going to be the devil, but I definitely am excited about that as well. Who do you got? Are you excited for both of those?
Regardless. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. If Mercedes Moné, I'm excited to see her. AEW will be great just because it adds so much value to their women's division.
And just so many fresh matchups as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm about to say. Fresh matchups. Like, I can't wait to see her and, like, Sheeta go at it. I can't wait to see her and, like, you know, Toni Storm. And, you know, you got Britt Baker still there. It's like, man, like, we can get some dope, dope matches with it's like, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Also, of course, with Ospreay, we've seen him in AEW a lot. Him signing there officially would be great. I would love to see that, of course. You know, Will Ospreay, legend, one of the best to ever do it. He's been killing it. So him getting that, you know, deservingly so, that big, big paycheck, I can see that for sure.
I think we need to hit these rapid-fire topics as rapid as we've ever done it. Let's run the gauntlet. Give me what you got in the rapid-fire topics.
Rapid fire, we got first up Santos Escobar.
Yes, Santos turned heel on Rey Mysterio. He left the brass knuckles there for Logan Paul. Carlito pointed it out at the end of Carlito's match with Bobby Lashley. Santos turned heel.
Yep.
I like this. I like a different direction for Santos Escobar. I feel like he's took a back seat in the LWO faction behind Rey Mysterio. I hope that Cruz del Toro and Zelina Vega and Joaquin Wilde all join him. Turn on Rey. Let's get Santos's group back together, and let's see Rey versus Santos, because I think it's going to be fire. I think Santos is better as a heel, and I'm glad to see it. And it's a new fun story on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's dope. I would love to see that for sure. All right, moving on. We're trying to get this going through the gauntlet, going fast here. FTR versus Commander and Vikingo.
I don't watch Rampage every week. I know I've said it before. I had to go out of my way to watch this match.
Of course.
Just like the Young Bucks on Dynamite. The FTR, no tag team wrestling, and when you give them time, they cannot have a bad tag team match. Commander and Vikingo, athletic as hell, innovative as hell, doing rope tricks, doing dives, doing all this stuff.
Yep.
It was fast-paced, pedal to the metal. If you haven't watched this on Rampage, I would suggest you check it out, or at least go check out like the 7 or 8 minute ending that they put on YouTube, because it is phenomenal. Shout out to FTR. Hopefully they bust out another banger at the pay-per-view Sunday.
I'm pretty sure they will, like, share what you said. Insane, crazy match. Definitely up there for a match of the week for me. Cause this
awesome. Absolutely.
All right, moving on. New NXT champs, tag champs.
Yes, Stax and his partner, Tony. Oh, my God. Why can't I think of his name? Jesus Christ.
You got it.
Tony D'Angelo? What is his name?
I want to say
D'Angelo. Oh, my God. I'm having a brain fart here. Give me 2 seconds.
I think it's D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo, right?
I don't know. It's one of those things. You ever said a name funny over and over again because you can't remember what it is? Tony D'Angelo. I'm so out of it. They beat Chase University to regain the NXT Tag Team Champions on NXT. Yo, it's too early in the morning for this. Shout out to Stax. I known him from my time way back in AEW Dark. He's a good dude. Chase, you know, having a little bit of dissension, but we'll see where it leads. I like the story right now. I didn't think that Stax and D'Angelo were going to get the titles back that fast, but they did.
Yeah, I like the story too, so I can't wait to see how that unfolds. But we got to keep moving on. Red Velvet.
Yeah, just wanted to shout out Red Velvet real quick. She had 3 different matches in 1 week. You know, she returned last week to wrestle Julia Hart. Then she wrestled Ruby Soho on Rampage and had a really good match. Then turned around this week again and had another good match with Sky Blue on Dynamite. She's back. She's killing it. You know, I know this injury really set her back a lot, and she was itching to get back in the ring. So I just want to say shout out to her.
Yes, huge shout out to her. Glad she is back into the mix. But moving on from there, we have Soho and Cool Hand.
Yeah, there's this little story on Rampage developing between real-life couple Cool Hand, Angelo Parker, and Ruby Soho. You know, we had the Outcast, Saraya, and Daddy Magic both saying, hey, we got a problem on our hands. These two are too in love. And it cost Ruby Soho her match with Red Velvet on Rampage. So just a fun little thing occurring on Rampage that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, it's fun. Enjoying it. And something else we are enjoying, moving on, still. LA Knight is still hot.
He's still hot. You know, I was worried if it was going to affect his crowd reactions on last week's SmackDown. It did not. Him and Grayson Waller wrestled. Oh. He said he's not done with the bloodline. He said he's not done with Roman Reigns. He wants that title. Hopefully, this leads to maybe a big potential chance of him winning the Royal Rumble. You never know. Love LA Knight. I'm glad he's still hot, and I want to see him to continue to rise.
Yeah, me too. I just knew he wouldn't lose that momentum. He's too hot right now. Too fire. He's too great. Too funny. Too witty. He knows what he's doing. And yeah, I can see him winning the Rumble.
No, 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 not and there. Yeah, not and yeah. It's and yeah.
Yeah. Love that. All right, moving on from there. We got Miro and Andrade.
Yeah, so a storyline I didn't see coming soon. You know, we have his new hot and flexible wife, CJ Perry, is now managing Andrade. Another shout out to Daniel Garcia. He wrestled Andrade on Collision in a really good match. He had a really fun little match with MJF last week on Dynamite. Shout out DG. But yeah, Andrade versus Miro. It's not on Full Gear, but I definitely see this getting set up for World's End at the end of the year. What do you think about Andrade versus Miro?
Love it. I love it so much. They're one of the, I want to say one, two of the best when it comes to like just straight up brutality and just so fit. They just so physically fit, you know, like it's just so like you won't consider them like, no, you like think monsters. Maybe Miro to an extent, but
they're both Andrade, monsters of men though. Yeah. He's a big dude.
Yeah. Andrade's huge. Like people don't maybe not realize this, but he's a big guy. Miro's a big guy. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So moving on from there though, we got to talk about, I think this is the last one we had actually, Roderick Strong.
Yeah, Roderick Strong, you know, they've been doing this neck thing. He pointed out that he knows who the devil is, which again is a clear indication to me that it's Adam Cole. He got to wrestle though again on Collision, you know, and he's been doing this neck thing, which has been funnier when he's been involved in like Kingdom tag matches. I don't like the vignettes and stuff they did at his house, but I do like him being involved where he's like, he has a match and then immediately rolls back in the wheelchair and holds his neck. I think it's funny, but he's a machine in the ring. And he, him and Darius Martin had a really good match on Collision. Shout out to him. And one more thing I want to touch on is the Continental Classic, the round robin tournament that Tony Khan and Bryan Danielson announced. There'll be matches for the next, I don't know, like 8 weeks of, you know, different top AEW competitors competing for a chance at the title. And Bryan Danielson is going to be a part of it. So shout out to Bryan Danielson. He also just announced that he's going to be facing Okada at Wrestle Kingdom, which is going to be dope. So definitely looking forward to that. Him going to Japan, wrestling in the Tokyo Dome is going to be awesome. Continental Classic, though, hopefully is full of competitors that should be in it. Sometimes these tournaments have obvious winners, and they put in guys that are not top guys. This needs to be top guys. You want to put on the best wrestling matches? Put Kenny Omega in this tournament. Put Jericho in the tournament. Put all these top guys in this tournament so it can be the best that we've seen.
That would be awesome if that happens. I'm totally looking forward to that. But I was wrong. We actually have two more we got to get through real quick. Kevin Owens, we got to talk about Kevin.
Oh, yes. Kevin Owens got suspended. I didn't know if this was a play to maybe make people think that he might be the fifth man for the War Games match over on the Raw side. But he was told to just be commentator. He got up, he beat up on Grayson Waller and on Austin Theory.
Yep.
The suspension. I don't know how long it lasts, but Nick Aldis showing that, hey, SmackDown's not going to put up with this shit, and he's trying to lay down the law.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how long this lasts for Kevin Owens and where he goes from here. But moving on to last but not least, talking about Dragon Lee.
Oh, yeah, I just want to touch on, they ran it back, Dragon Lee versus Cedric Alexander this week on SmackDown. And in, like, the small amount of time they got, they destroyed it again, showing that Dragon Lee can put on a great match and get the crowd involved. And he's one of the best in the world. And Cedric deserves more credit and deserves more time on TV, so I'm glad he got another TV match out of this. The match was really fucking good.
Yeah, so great. I loved every second of that match. It's incredible. But that is the end of Rapid Fire. So we're going to move on to Match of the Week. And I know I alluded to it earlier, so I'm just going to pick it because it is how I'm feeling. My Match of the Week, for me personally, is FTR, Commander versus Vikingo. That match was just such a banger. I love
it. It is unexpected banger, too. I think that's what made it so good. I wasn't expecting it to be that fire. Just don't think anything else. Maybe the Bucks' match on Dynamite competes with it, but I think that's my match of the week as well. I think it's the FTR match because it was just certified banger out of nowhere on Rampage. Check it out if you haven't watched it before. Indie Spotlight of the Week, who you got?
Indie Spotlight of the Week, I have Joey Silver, also known as Sweet Cheeks. He has a great gimmick. He's a good friend of mine. We actually was in Nightmare Factory in the same camp, Camp 3 together. He was one of the top guys there. I really do look up to him. He's doing great, great things on the indie scene. He recently lost a belt. But I really enjoy Joey Silver, Sweet Cheeks. You can check him out. He's awesome. He's got a great gimmick. He's great in the ring. He's funny. His matches are hilarious. He has a great time in there, and I just love watching his matches because it gives me joy and puts a smile on my face every time. So please check out Joey Silver, also known as Sweet Cheeks. He's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, up in the New York, New England area, he's wrestled for HOG, House of Glory, Hog. Was their champion for a minute. Really good guy. I'm going to go Myron Reed. You know, he just showed up on Impact for the first time joining the Rascals. I love Myron, a good friend of mine. We both wrestled him before. You know, we came up with him in Backyard Wrestling. Big shout out to Myron Reed. He is my guy. Go check him out. We'll put those socials down in the description below of the YouTube video as well as the description of the iTunes and Spotify links and all that good stuff. Please go check out the Lighten Up Brothers channel on YouTube. I need you guys to hit subscribe. It'll be in the description below of the YouTube video. Give us a comment. Tell me what you think. Me and AK will both be in the comments below. I was commenting and responding to all of you guys' comments last week on the YouTube video. All the love and shares and social media posts are greatly appreciated. This is the Lighten Up Brother podcast with my co-hosts, AK47 and Fuego Del Sol. I appreciate you for listening and helping us grow this brand. And we'll be back next week talking about the best and the most positive things in all of pro wrestling, including our full gear thoughts. So we can't wait to see you guys next week. Follow AK, follow me. Our socials will be in the descriptions below. And we will see you next week on Lighten Up Brother with Fuego Del Sol.